might that gets up early in the morning in the eastern horizon and paints its technicolor across the blue, something that man could never make. I'm not going to put my ultimate faith in the little bombs that can be destroyed in an atomic age. But the God who has been our help in ages past and our hope for years to come, our shelter in the time of storm, and our eternal home. That's the God that I'm putting my ultimate faith in. That's the God that I call upon you to worship this morning. Go out and be assured that that God is going to last forever. Storms might come and go. Our great skyscraping buildings will come and go. Our beautiful automobiles will come and go, but God will be here. Grass may wither off. The flowers may fade away, but the word of our God shall stand forever, and nothing can ever stop it. All of the P-38s in the world can never reach God. All of our atomic bombs can never reach it. The God that I'm talking about this morning is the God of the universe, and the God that will last through the ages. We are to go forward this morning. We've got to go back and find that God. But that is the God that demands and commands our ultimate allegiance. If we are to go forward, we must go back and rediscover these precious values, that all reality hinges on moral foundations, and that all reality has spiritual control. God bless you. Amen.
Are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Pastor Garner, we're going to chase God. We are God chasers. Here we go. All right.
stand.
Amen. 1-9. Amen. There you will find these words. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciple went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees. That's where we get Palm Sunday from. Palm trees, amen. And strawed them in the way. And then verse 9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And for a few moments this morning, I want to speak from the subject, let Jesus use you. Amen. Lean over, hunch your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, the Lord wants to use you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. In our text this morning, we find Jesus using a word that you'll find him using quite often throughout the Gospels. As he went about healing the sick and touching the lives of people, whether they were sick physically or spiritually, you find Jesus using this word, and the word is simply this, go. You need to understand this morning, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus was a man of authority, but he was also a man of action. As an economist, I like to tell people that God is has an economics mind. God is a God of productivity. God wants to see fruit. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus uses this word go. You remember how the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, she faced her accusers and Jesus said unto them, who among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. How many of you remember that? Amen. And then Jesus looked to the woman and he said, now go and sin no more. The Bible declares a story about a man who had been healed of leprosy. Jesus told that leper to go his way. You Bible readers will remember the centurion that wanted Jesus to know that he too was a man of authority. This man's servant was sick, the Bible says, and Jesus, after they had this long discourse, Jesus told him to go his way, and as you have believed, so it be done unto you. All I'm trying to remind us this morning is that Jesus is a God of action. He wants us to go. Amen. It's real comfortable sitting in this church on Sunday. It's real comfortable sitting in these padded pews with ceiling fans and air conditioning and all of that. But I believe that just as Jesus told men and women of old to go Pleasant Hill, I believe he's telling us today that if we're going to live in his will and live out his life, then we got to get up from where we are. We've got to go and tell somebody. Is there anybody here who's been able to say like me, amen, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody? But I figured out I just can't keep it to myself. Has God been that good to anybody else in here other than me? That when you thought about sitting on him, when you thought about not saying anything, when you thought you'd just be quiet, you remembered something he did in your past. You remembered how he picked you up and turned you around. You remembered how he placed your feet on solid ground. You said, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go. So Jesus says, go. He says, go. He says, go. Now, the first thing we notice, and I'm going to have to take a little time here and give y'all a lesson in donkeyology. And I've got to really, really be prayerful that the Lord will keep my mind clear. because as I talk about this donkey, this jackass, amen, I got to really pray, amen, that I don't slip into the flesh. Because when you study donkeyology, you come to find that donkeys and us have a lot in common. Let me give y'all some of the characteristics of donkeys. Donkeys are known to be rebellious, hard-headed, stubborn, cantankerous, sneaky. And I know you would like to believe we don't have sneaky folk in the church. Move on, Pastor, move on. Slow and loud. Amen. Those are some of the characteristics of donkeys. And if you live long enough, you ain't got to find those characteristics in anybody else. You just examine your own self long enough, you will discover that we all have some donkey traits. See, I'm using the right word. I'm using the right word. Now, T.D. Jake said this morning, and some of y'all, he preached from this same text, and he said that if the donkey could talk, the donkey would say, amen, you think I'm just an ass, but amen, the Lord wants to use me. I said T.D. Jake said that this morning. I know y'all don't think, amen. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But Jesus told these young men to go. That's the first thing I want to focus on. I want to focus on us in our evangelistic mission. We get too comfortable, y'all, just coming to church, sitting in church, being fed, but the Lord wants us to go. How many of you know that if ever there were time the church needed to go, that time is now? Can I get a witness today? When a young man, Trayvon Martin, and I'm saying his name, amen, can be gunned down in Florida, in Sanford, Florida, amen, just because of a hoodie, just because of the color of his skin, if he could be murdered for nothing, amen, y'all, we need to get up and go. Now, I know a lot of churches, Dr. Freddie Haynes in Dallas, they having a hoodie service today. All the members, the pastor, they all have on hoodies. I know that down at Greater St. Stephen in New Orleans today, they're having a hoodie service. We ain't having no hoodie service. But I will tell you this, we need to be careful how we prejudge people. Because one thing I've discovered that it's not just other folk who prejudge, not just other folk who are prejudiced, but sometimes we're prejudiced against our own selves. I was getting my car, my truck detailed, and I was sitting there, and there was this elderly lady sitting there, and a young man drove up in his car, and he got out of the car, and his pants were sagging. And that lady, she nudged me. She said, look at that. That's just awful. That just don't make no sense. Just an old thug, criminal. Look. And she just was ranting and raving about the boy because his pants were sagging. Y'all, do you know what she did? She prejudged him. Yeah. All right, now, I'm not a fan of sagging any more than the next person, but I do understand that there's a soul there. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Y'all ain't got to say. So anyway, amen, he got out of his car with his pants sagging, and she was just, oh, she was saying all kind of dirt about him. And then before long, he looked over, and he looked at her, and he said, hey, Sister Mary. She said, you know me? We go to the same church. And I just looked at her. So I want to say this to us. Let us be careful how we prejudge our young people. Amen. Because one thing I know, that if they get Jesus in their hearts, if they get the Lord in their mind, how many of you have to testify that until you met Jesus, you may have not been sagging with your pants, but you were sagging in your mind and in your spirit? How many of you can testify that until the Lord came into your heart and into your life, you weren't all that good either? And if God was patient enough to wait on you, then we've got to stop prejudging our young people, stop looking at them and condemning them because of what they have on. The Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. And do you know what that tells me? That tells me you can be dressed from head to toe, you can have on a long white dress and all of that, but your heart will be dirty in the sight of God. Can I get any witnesses here today who know that we need to go? We need to go. The next thing this text tells us is that the Lord said, I need y'all to go and untie these donkeys because I need to use them. Oh my, oh my. Now when you think about a donkey, because the natural inclination is that we would think that Jesus would come riding into Jerusalem on a Clydesdale. Y'all know those Anheuser-Busch commercials? I know you know Anheuser-Busch, but I'm talking about the, you know the commercial. Y'all gonna get me in trouble. The Clydesdale, you would think that Jesus would come riding on a Clydesdale, but the prophecy was because of his humility, because of his meekness, and that's what I can't understand about church folk. If he could be humble, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but why can't we be humble in the church house? If somebody don't pat us on the back, if somebody don't tell us how good we look, if somebody doesn't tell us how good we did, we have the nerve to get an attitude. But I come by to remind us today that if we want the blessings of God, we've got to learn how to be humble. We've got to learn how, amen, to be humble like Jesus. And so he had to fulfill the prophecy, and the prophecy said he was going to come riding on a jackass. A jackass. I told you already about the characteristics of the jackass. Amen. And some of y'all are looking at me like, Pastor, say donkey, but I'm going to say what the Bible says. Even though, amen, this jackass is messed up, he's mixed up, he's dirty, he's stinky, he's cantankerous, he's stubborn, he's all of that, but in spite of all of that, Jesus says, I want to use it. See, that's somebody's shouting point right there. Because if the truth would be told, the reason you're not in the choir is because you're afraid somebody in the audience is going to remember you from the club. And so you're sitting back, holding back on letting God use you, amen, because you're letting people prejudge you. You're letting people determine how God can use you. But I come by this morning to tell you that if he can use an old, dirty, stinky, stubborn, rebellious, cantankerous jackass, baby, he can use you. Can I get a witness in here today? Because if the truth would be told, the reason you won't get on devotion, and you know they ask you, get on devotion, won't you do the devotion? Oh no, because you were so afraid that somebody was going to be sitting there, amen, who saw you where you were, where you should not have been, amen. But I have come by to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, by telling you God can use you. He can use you. But guess what? Before he could use the donkey, y'all know what he had to do, right? He had to untie it. It's a word right in there. Because I know there are two or three witnesses in this house who can admit, who can testify, amen, that before I could really do a productive, fruitful work for God, I had to be untied from some stuff. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Let me testify. Amen. But before God could use me in the fullness of his will, amen, he had to untie me from some stuff. And do you know what I like about it? I like about the donkey didn't untie himself. He had to be untied. And that's why I tell folks, because some folks come to church and say, I would join the church, but, you know, I still drink a little. I would come to church and join the church, amen, but I still do this or I still do that. Baby, if you're waiting on you to deliver you, you're going to be waiting forever. There are some folk in here who understand that it takes an act of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost permeating your heart and your spirit to untie you from some stuff. Some of you don't drink, you don't smoke, amen, you don't lie, you don't curse, but you got a bad attitude. Y'all would be amazed at the folk that walk away from Pleasant Hill and say, I ain't going back over there because an usher messed up and set them next to you with your bad attitude. And see, I'm sitting up here and I get to see everything. Amen. I see, I I see visitors come in sometimes, and some of you, because you bought a season ticket for that seat, I see, amen, the usher try to lead somebody down your row, and you sitting there on the end, you're a skittle away. Ain't no way they're gonna get between, and you sitting there looking at them like, take them somewhere else. God needs to untie some of us from our bad attitude. It don't make sense to be saved and have so much joy and have so much Holy Ghost, and yet you're so mean, you won't smile, you won't say amen, you won't give God praise, you act like you made it by yourself, you act like you woke yourself up this morning. Somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, woo! I don't care what the devil been trying to do to me. And there's two or three folk in here who know right now it's something on my mind that that old sneaky devil. I declared this past week a week of rest, and I got away. Where'd you go, Pastor? You don't need to know where I went, but I got away and I rested. I rested, and as soon as I got back here Friday, amen, there was some ready to meet me here. Thank you, Jesus. But I was so rested that I laughed at it. I was so rested and my mind so stayed on Jesus, amen, that it didn't even bother me. And then the Lord said, now Sunday you're going to be talking about these jackasses and you got to be careful, amen. Oh God, move on, Pastor.
All right.
Thank God for deliverance in this place. I said, thank God for deliverance in this place. Y'all have heard me say before that one of the greatest deliverances I've had in my life is to be delivered from people. Because there was a time in my life where I used to worry about, well, what they saying now. I used to worry about, what do you think? And what, amen. But I reached a point in my existence, in my walk with God, let the haters hate. Amen. I learned that haters motivate. Let the liars lie. Let folks say whatever they want to say. I have learned how to get in my own mirror at my own house and look at my own self and say, I'm looking real good today. Somebody looks and says, why you got that bow tie on? I feel real good today. And I said, since I feel good, I'm going to look good. Let the haters hate. Let the liars lie. But when you know you've got God on your side, is there anybody who has made up your mind to give him praise? You may as well go on and give him praise. Because I'm telling you, there are some folk who can't, their only reason for showing up today was to see how miserable they made you. And I have come to find, amen, that, you know, folk could tell folks some and say, now don't tell nobody. But all the while, they want it to get back to you so you can come in here Sunday, amen, miserable, head bowed low, depressed, can't sleep at night. I refuse to give the devil satisfaction. Amen. I have learned how to give God a praise on a promise. I may not have what I need yet, but he promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He promised that I'd be the head and not the tail. He promised he'd make my enemies my footstool. He promised that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Give him praise in this place. And y'all know the rest of the story. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the jackass. And as he was riding, he had some haters. Because the Bible said, while he was riding triumphantly into the city, the Bible says there was a great host following him. folk that he blessed, folk that he performed miracles for. They were following our Lord and our Savior. And the Bible says they were singing, "Glory be to God," and "Hosanna to God in the highest." But then the haters showed up. The hater said, "Look here, Jesus. Jerusalem is a quiet place. Jerusalem is a peaceable habitation. We don't have all of that rabble-rousing round here." Jesus looked at him and said, "Well, I tell you what, if these hold their peace, if these shut up, if these don't praise me," he said, "I will make the rocks cry out and give me praise." You know what? I like to believe with my sanctified imagination. Some would call it speculative theology. But when you think about who might have been in that crowd, you can understand why it was foolish to tell them to hold their peace. I just imagine that the woman that Jesus met at the well, the woman that Jesus said, "You've had so many husbands and the one you have now ain't yours." The Bible says that after Jesus talked with her, that she ran out into the city. She said, "Come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done." I just imagine she was in that crowd and she couldn't hold her peace. I just believe that the woman with the issue of blood, y'all know the woman, don't you? The woman who said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." I believe she was in that crowd. She could not hold her peace. I believe that blind Bartimaeus, he was in that crowd. The one that Jesus opened his blinded eyes, he could not hold his peace. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I believe that some of you were in that crowd. Some of you are in that crowd. And let folk look at you crazy. Let them tell you you ought to sit down and shut up. But you can look at them and say, "Baby, you don't know.